Welcome. This is a Right Time mini podcast brought to you by NTDC, the National Training and Development Curriculum. In this podcast, we talk about the impact of changing schools, a common occurrence for children in foster care. To understand how it feels to make a move, sometimes many moves, we spoke with Oscar, a foster care alumnus whose childhood was marked by constant change. Before entering foster care, Oscar describes his family life as turbulent, unstable, and sometimes violent. The family never stayed in any one place for more than a few months.
The transition started like around when I was 9, with constant moving while I was still living with my biological family. You know, at least I'd say 3 different locations that we lived per year. And, you know, with that came changes in school and, you know, kind of restart of social life. And that's not taken into consideration the troubles that were going on at home as well. So
at age 14, a violent incident at home led to Oscar's transition into foster care.
For the most part, that transition was honestly the smoothest part of my childhood. I spent a year with my initial, foster family. And then I, you know, got transitioned into live with my current, you know, family who I, you know, took care of me and taking care of me still.
Before entering foster care, Oscar had changed schools more times than he can count.
By the time I was like, you know, like, I want to say 12, I used to count on my fingers. And by that point, I had needed to start lowering fingers, like in order to count. And I just stopped keeping count at that point. I'd want to say 15 probably, but that's a very rough estimate. Not 15 different schools, just different periods. Sometimes I would go back to the same school that I had gone to like 3 years prior.
We asked Oscar to reflect on the impact of these changes on his school experience, both academically and socially.
Initially, it was, you know, very hard as you know, the changes started to mount up. That meant that, like, I couldn't form strong, friend social groups. After a while, I gave up on making strong bonds, and that has an effect on emotionally stunting you, and social skills are hindered as well because of, you know, the just not interacting or giving priority to that side of life. So the way that it affected me is that all of my, you know, cognitive resources went into, well, I just have to become smart and not care about like making friends, making, you know, social like groups and having the approval of my peers or whatever, like, you know, and instead just do what I need to do, forget everything, shut down emotionally, not in a breaking down kind of way, but more in a dissociative way. Like you are a machine. Do what you need to do, and eventually you will move on to another setting. The only thing that will stick with you is whatever effective elements of the, you know, the curriculum of the current school that you're going to were. In a lot of ways, the coping at that stage was more in line with becoming an adequate and intelligent person. Less so of finding ways to manage, you know, like the loss and grief of having lost a big part of your childhood.
To block out these unwanted emotions, Oscar focused on becoming independent and strong.
For me, the coping was, you cannot become similar to, you know, the family that you have at this moment. You have to become as different as possible, because my mom, who was single, was very emotionally unstable. That was one of the big reasons why I shut down emotionally, because I perceived emotions to be a big factor in why I was in the situation that I was in. And, you know, she was uneducated. So become as educated as possible. Have physical dominance over yourself, you know, in the sense of like, take care of yourself, I guess is what you would say. But honestly, at that point, it was more of like, get strong, you know, get strong physically. Don't let your body be a hindrance to yourself. And the moving honestly helped, as I was never kind of like, I could never stay long enough to form an idea of like what my teachers would like teach and their teaching styles. And I, you know, get acclimated to that. Instead, I had to focus on big picture and like, well, I'm going to be here for 3 months. So they're probably going to teach something similar, like in the next school that I go to. So I have to get the ideas down instead of getting the content.
Once Oscar was in a stable foster home, he could finally start acknowledging the feelings he'd repressed for so long. His best advice to families who foster or adopt is to do what his family did.
You just have to come into this with an open mind and be willing to allow the space for healing to occur. At the same time, striking a balance with not forcing it and allow it to occur naturally. So that's the biggest piece of advice I can give. That space and that time and that compassion is the thing that helped me the most. So they did that in a lot of ways, honestly. But you know, the biggest one is just giving me the space and, you know, allowing me to go through that kind of unraveling process where you're kind of just in a protective cocoon of, you know, maybe maladaptive coping mechanisms, and then just letting that kind of unravel by itself and giving me the resources that I needed in order to, you know, when that process was unfolding, to be able to cope and manage and understand what I was going through and what I could do. They talked to me, they gave me the resources, they allowed me to pursue the things that I needed to pursue, whether that be exercise, art, continuing my education, and therapy, you know. And that was, you know, immeasurably helpful in my development as a person.
This has been a conversation with foster care alumnus Oscar. Thank you for listening.
NTDC was funded by the Children's Bureau Administration on Children, Youth, and Families, Administration for Children and Families, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, under grant number 90CO1134. The contents of this podcast are solely the responsibility of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of the Children's Bureau.